Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. We're honored that you would join us today. We're interested in the hearts of children and eager to help you learn practical tools for reaching a child's heart. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. And Elena, welcome today.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Parenting is Hard Work podcast. It's really great to have you listening. I'm very excited about today's episode. I know many of the families who are listening to us are parents to multiple children, so I'm sure they will be delighted to know that we are going to focus today on how to parent or discipline or focus on different children at the same time in big families, especially now with more and more children being homeschooled. Dr. Scott, I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on this and to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think we have a challenge because sometimes we want to work with our kids independently. But, you know, I mean, in my family, we have five kids. And when you have five children, it's not convenient sometimes to get away and work with a child on his own or her own. But I do still think there are ways that we can do this. And so I think it's important to talk about this. The first thing I think we want to realize is that children are individuals. And so if we recognize that they're individuals, we know that their challenges are unique. Oh, yes, we might see disrespect among all children, or they all might be fighting together at times. But even then, the fighting that takes place is a form of selfishness. And the way one child demonstrates their selfishness might be different than another child. So the most effective way to help children change is to zero in on a child's uniqueness and bring about some solutions that apply to that particular child. So that's what we're going to talk about here. How can we do that? What does it look like? And how can we maximize change in one child's heart when we have multiple children?
So, Dr. Scott, tell me, what was your go-to technique or skill when you had to do this in your family, when you found your children arguing on when they came to you for, you know, looking for justice? What was your first kind of from your entire parenting life? What was your first go-to, as it were?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's several different kind of theological truths we want to understand that drive us to this idea. But I think one of the things that we continually would look at is to recognize that when you have two children who are fighting, you generally have two selfish children. And so we would say, oh, we have a problem here. You need to take a break. Have each child take a break separately. And when they come back, we process it with that own child, that child's uniqueness. So when a child comes back, we might say, okay, what did you do wrong? And the child says, well, she took my Legos. And so my response would be, okay, we'll talk about her in a minute because we need to have a plan for that. What she did was wrong. But what did you do wrong? Well, I hit her. So this idea of processing the offense independently is very important so that a child can develop a plan for dealing with the selfishness of other people and the selfishness of their own. You have to recognize that it's one thing to work with a child to develop obedience because it's just between me and the child to work on that. But when a child now is dealing with the selfishness of another child and they're fighting, now I've got a more complex relationship. And it's my opportunity then to train that child to think more appropriately about their own part of the problem, take responsibility for their issues, and recognize there are different ways to handle challenges. Let's see what we can do to work on this in a way that's most effective.
Yeah, I have been reading in your the Christian Parenting book, which you actually deal with this topic in one of the chapters here. And what you are saying at some point is that conflict between siblings is really also an opportunity for relationship and, of course, for training. And it can give to problems a whole new perspective. I think sometimes parents are surely tired and it can be so hard for parents to look at this as an opportunity. They, you know, they just want their kids to listen and to behave and to stop fighting. What can we as parents do, just as you mentioned earlier, how can we change our perspective? How can we have a different attitude? What can we say to ourselves to be able to build that up? Because I don't think it's going to happen instantly.
I think parents make one of two mistakes. Either they say to kids, go fight it out, or you go deal with it. Don't talk to me about it. And so kids do fight it out. And you know, it's just, that's not the best approach. They need parental guidance. But the other thing is parents will sometimes say, okay, you guys can't play together anymore. And so they separate them, thinking that separating them is going to somehow solve the problem. When I would suggest that training is your key parenting tool, not correction. Correction is good. We have to correct children, but more is learned through training than correction. You might say to kids, okay, you both want that Lego platform so you can build what you're going to do. That makes sense. You need to sit down here in these two chairs facing each other and talk about it. And when you do come up to a conclusion, let me know and we'll release the Lego platform. So we're forcing children or requiring that they communicate in a more healthy way. And sometimes children, you know, they just look at each other. They don't know what to do. And so I might say to one, I'd say, here's how you start. Start this way and say, I have an idea. And so the one child says, I have an idea. I should get the Lego platform. And you say, well, that sounds like a good idea. What do you think? You say to the second child, no, I think I should get the Lego platform. Okay. So I think what you want to do is talk about it and you guys figure out how you're going to solve this problem so the Lego platform can be released. Now, when you do that, sometimes children will just work it out, which is great. You go, wow, isn't that amazing? We're teaching children how to communicate, persuade, negotiate, all those very important things that allow children to problem solve. Many children don't know how to problem solve. And so when they don't know how to problem solve, it results in conflict. And so we're teaching them how to problem solve. But other times, one child will be really stubborn and say, no, I'm not going to talk about it. And at that point, we might just say, okay, look, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, because you're not working here in the process, I'm going to send you to take a break and think about it. You're not going to be able to play with the Legos. I'm actually going to give the platform to your sister for now until you're ready to work on this. And when you're ready to work on it, come back and we may change that plan. And so what we're doing here is acting in a more wise way, I think, that's really trying to prompt and motivate our children to solve problems in a way that that can be more constructive. And that requires that we work with each child independently. Now, here we're working with them together, but there's a sense that each child must learn how to deal with the selfishness of another. Hmm. And so we're trying to put them in that solution, and we might call them out and say, you know what? She's only three. If you just let her have it for a few minutes, you know what's going to happen. She's going to put it down, and she's going to go on to something else, and you're going to be able to pick it up and go with it. So then we're kind of mentoring an older child to work with a younger child. And we're just helping them understand how to work with this. So I do believe that working with children independently is strategic because all kids are different and they need to learn skills that will help them to relate. And that's why we call it relationship training. We believe that sibling conflict is a child's first class in relationship training.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And myself, I have two young children, four and, well, almost five and two. And these kind of conflicts are happening all the time. And it's, you know, I usually try to have this strategy, and sometimes it's not working because they are very small yet. But I think the more they grow and the more they get used to being able to discuss and among themselves how to solve a problem, it really can become powerful. I think it helps them also resonate and just make sense of their own nature. Because Dr. Scott, I'm very interested in your view, for example, on how does this relate to, for example, disciplining in terms of if the conflict doesn't end, or if it ends up for older children, for example, if it doesn't really, if we don't see a resolution, going for the break can be one option. What are the other options, especially if our children are a bit older and, you know, maybe just stubborn, pushing a bit too hard against what we want to achieve?
Well, in the area of sibling conflict, I think there are skills that need to be developed. So, you know, it depends on the child. That's why we work with them uniquely. But for example, we might say that in family life, we want to encourage some people to talk about it instead of using violence. So we might establish a stop rule where if someone says stop, then the other person needs to stop. Because sometimes a young teenager is being teased by a pre adolescent child, and that teasing path crosses the line. It's not wrong to tease, but teasing always has a line. And when it's crossed, then a person doesn't know when to stop. And so using that stop rule can be helpful, because now we're listening as a parent so that we can step in and say to the younger person, look, your brother said you need to stop and you didn't stop. And then we can step in and take more action in order to enforce that. But I do think that there are sometimes when children are being stubborn and it's revealed in their sibling interactions. And in those cases, we might just use a break more. We might say, look, you don't have any privilege. You're not going to use the iPad at all until you have a plan for sharing it with your brother. So sometimes we remove privileges or we use some other kind of consequence. But notice the goal. The goal isn't to punish a child. We're saying you're losing your privileges on the iPad until you think of a plan. We use consequences in a heart-based approach to motivate children into training exercises, not to punish them for something they've done wrong. It's a motivation strategy. So we can use all kinds of tools, but the goal is really to focus on what does this child need to learn and do in order to be more effective at conflict resolution. You see, conflict is made of two things. It's made of problems or differences and emotion. If it was just problems and differences, then children would just need problem-solving strategies to deal with them. But what happens is the emotions get in the way and it turns it into conflict. So children need a plan for both emotional management and conflict problem solving. So we want to give children tools for problem solving. Those are sometimes social skills that they need to work out something with someone else, but sometimes it's just problem solving in general. But if we help children work on the problem solving and we help them work on the emotional management, then we're breaking down the conflict so that it's more manageable for us. So if we think about what the child needs to develop, a new pattern of handling things, I mean, if they have an anger problem, there's a different way of handling things than using anger. And we're going to use some strategies that force them into that. And it may be that we give them a consequence, but if we do, it's going to motivate them into a process where they're going to learn some different tools for managing the problem solving than just relying on anger.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And I think that's the reason why it's so important as parents to go through the whole biblical parenting approach and see all those tools that we're using and all the teaching that you, Dr. Scott, are doing. I think it's something that cannot be used necessarily. I mean, it's good that we use the strategies in separately, but I think it makes a lot more sense and it's so much more powerful when we have a strategy and we are using them together and we get to look at our child and we get to discuss and think about what skills do we want to develop in them, what are the tendencies of their heart. So I do want to take this opportunity to encourage parents who maybe find themselves in a point where they really, don't know what to try and how to try it. And although they find your teaching very powerful, go in the beginning, start with the beginning, and you can find a lot of tools on biblicalparenting.org. And you can find also parenting coaches there that can help you. Dr. Scott, I want to dive into one area a bit further before we close. And that would be, how would you deal when parents, let's say, punish children separately deal with conflict sibling in a different way. I am a very good example of that. Myself and my husband, for example, we have different ways in which we deal with siblings conflict. That can be very challenging because, we can get to some kind of conclusion with the child, sometimes it increases the amount of time that it takes for that child to maybe cool down or for them both to get to an agreement. What would you say to do as parents to have that common, not necessarily common, but even if we have it differently, how would you deal with it in this situation?
Yeah, it's a good question. Parents always do it differently. I mean, so there are differences in the way dads and moms handle problems and handle this. I would say that that first of all, you can't control the other parent. So you start with yourself and you develop plans for dealing with this when you have control of the situation. Secondly, I suggest that the parent who starts it finishes it, so we don't step on the other parent's toes as they're trying to do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. But then I think that we try to influence the other parent as much as possible to think about, as you said, strategy. Strategy is more important than reactive parenting. And sometimes we just get fed up with our kids fighting all the time, and we just react with poor responses. And so we want to try to influence the other parent with some ideas about strategy when possible. And when parents can get on the same page, even though they might do it differently, they have the same goal in mind to develop these skills that are necessary. Some good things can happen, and we can tag team in order to move children along. But you know, we can only do so much with the other parent. So we work on ourselves, and we have plenty of opportunity, each one of us, to work with our children. And we see sibling conflict so commonly that we'll have opportunity to train them to use specific tools. And what happens is they'll even start using those tools in situations where the other parent is watching. So we don't want to be disheartened by another parent's inability to get on board right away. We just want to do the right thing and use the influence we have to bring about change, and trust that God has something special planned for this child. And we're just a part of what God wants to do here. So I would say we do the best we can, try to get the other parent on board when possible. But then when we can't, we just rely on the fact that God has given us influence in this child's life, and we take advantage of that to see the child move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very nicely said. So parents, please don't feel that you need to do. You need to feel alone and maybe disheartened when you are parenting. There are so many resources on Dr. Scott's website on parenting, biblicalparenting.org. You can find there. There's blog with articles. There's recordings. So please don't feel that you need to be doing this alone. I would also encourage you to get in touch with biblical parenting coaches that you can also find on Dr. Scott's website if you would like to maybe have a conversation, and if you really need further help. I'm sure that we would be more than happy to help you and support you. Dr. Scott, is there any other comment you would like to make before we close this episode?
Yeah, let me just say this. When a couple is working with children, sometimes they get so frustrated with each other, it creates a lot of tension in the marriage relationship. And I just want to remind you that there's going to come a point when these children have grown up, moved out, and you're just there with your spouse, and you don't want to have damaged your marriage relationship because of the kids. So value the marriage. It's very important. And that means you're going to put up with some things, you're going to try to influence, but you're not going to develop a bitterness toward the other parent, because partnering with another person is hard, and sibling conflict or dealing with children is a very important thing that we do. And when we have disagreements about it, it can be a problem. So remember, the long goal here is to spend time nurturing your relationship with your spouse. That'll go a long way to build the unity that you want, that you'll keep ongoing, both now as you're trying to solve problems with the kids, but also something you'll take advantage of as you have your future well in front of you.
That's a really beautifully said, and I think gives a lot of hope to parents, young parents, and parents with older children alike. I thank you so much, Dr. Scott, for all your work in this area of parenting and all the wisdom that you're sharing with us. And I want to encourage parents to go ahead and listen to all the other episodes we have available for you, and come to us with questions or suggestions for new episodes if you would like that. You can find me on Parenting is Hard.